What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other hostiest that is dressed the mostiest in the green.
You are wearing just so, like, even your socks are green today.
If you can even see them, I don't know. They're a bit camouflaged.
You're like green on green on green.
I am a little green on green on green. But so what happened was we were scheduled to record the pop last Thursday, I believe, which is when I wore this shirt with a non-green pants.
Yes.
And then I was like, you know what? We're not going to record until tomorrow, Friday. I better switch shirts. So yes. I left this at the office. We also didn't record on Friday. I completely forgot what pants I was wearing, and I wore my green pants today. But I think it was worth it because, you know, when you're a fashion trendsetter like myself, Ben.
Oh, shots fired.
You need, you know, sometimes you got to take risks. And I went with the green on the green, and, you know, I had to rep the Mixer the Mouse here.
Sure. You've even got Hipster Mickey on your person right now.
I have Hipster Mickey on my person right now. Actually, I like this one a lot because I've met the artist of Hipster Mickey.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, and you for Christmas, I think a couple years ago, got me some, like, I don't even know what to say, like almost like artisan Mickey ears or something.
They were exactly that. They were like a special release, like limited edition set of Mickey ears. And I was like, when I saw them, I was like, oh, that's just too fitting. It's too special. You gots to have it.
Gots to.
But that is like one of those things with the Mickey ears, because you because they're like kind of extra special.
Yeah.
There is that question of like, do you wear them? Like,
do you wear
is it
them?
Worth like taking them out into the park? Cause they even came in like, if I remember correctly, like a very nice box.
It came with a nice box and like a velvet bag, and then inside are the ears. And I am sort of of the opinion that I would just wear them.
Okay, good.
I was like,
good.
I'm going to, you know what? These are more fun if you wear them. They look cool like on a shelf or something, but at the same time, like, what's the point if you don't wear them? However, I have not worn them in the parks because my head's too big.
You do have a huge head.
It's plagued me my whole life. I haven't been able to wear hats just ever. Yeah. And you'd think something like a novelty one-size-fits-all Mickey Mouse thing that they're trying to sell to the masses would be like, we got to make these big because they got to fit most heads. No.
Does not fit
still
your dome.
Still can't do it. Now, on this occasion, though, I can be like, well, you know what? The upside is they'll always stay nice. And that, you know, at least there now I can be like, I can't, even though now I've revealed my hand on the pop.
Yeah,
I can be like, no, I don't want to wear it because I want to keep it nice because it's a nice piece.
A piece. It's when I first started hearing people like refer to designer clothing as like, that's a nice piece. I was like, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's like, not gum. Okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like a stick of gum, a slice of gum. That's a Ben Carlinism, which anybody can borrow at any point in time.
I can already tell you something I've noticed in this recording of the pop is that we have already repeated each other several times.
The bingo cards are on fire right now.
Can we talk about the bingo cards? Because I don't think we have since people have started playing with them.
Yeah, so it's been really, really, really funny. Like, we were sort of offhandedly joking one day where we were like, oh, there's like all these little funny like things that we say in every single episode or things that we bring up.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they've become such recurring ideas that it's literally like, if you have a bingo card for the past couple of weeks of doing it, people are regularly getting bingo. And there's, I think that Jordan, our office manager, who actually like makes the randomized boards. So everybody who gets a board, they're all completely different.
Yeah,
so nobody's seeing the same board.
Yeah. So to back up, in case you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, for the past couple of weeks, as the pop has been going live, as it's been premiering on the channel,
yes,
we've provided a link where you can click and it will randomly generate you a bingo board full of popcorn culturisms.
Yes.
And if Ben and I commit any of the squares, you get to mark it off. But what's so fun about it is that each board is completely randomly generated.
Right.
Out of, you know, 24 different options plus a free space.
Right.
Although I think as of this week, as of this recording, the free space will be Ben and Jay Fail at Music.
Nice.
Which is just a free space.
Because it's so true. It's a constant. It's always happening.
Whether we're saying it or not.
Right. Like, it's actually something kind of like when two people are like apart and they're looking at the same moon and they're like, oh, we're looking at the same thing.
Right.
You know, it's like when you look at the moon at night, you can be like, Ben and Jay suck at music.
Exactly. I'm so glad you didn't break away from that. Like, I was like, you know how these things are going to be similar? No, I'm going to use the first one.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That was
it. Remember that as you gaze at the moon.
Wait, what a callback from the same joke.
We were right there.
What a misdirect.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I repeated you.
We repeated each other.
It happens all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, constantly. We apologize for it, but we're not going to stop either because it's just part of who we are. And, you know,
this is what makes people people, is that you have little isms, and what a better way to have them called out on you than playing bingo with, thousands of people at once while you listen to a conversation of yourself.
Right. So what is blowing my mind about it, though, is that, like, in my mind, I think that every episode of the Pop is its own unique snowflake, you know?
Like a popped kernel of popcorn.
Precisely. No one is the same.
No one is the same.
Right. No, I guess no two are the same. One is the same as itself.
One is itself.
One is itself. No two are the same, as they say. But that turns out to effectively just not be the case. We very frequently talk about a whole bunch of the same things that just keep coming up.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's been most mind-blowing to me so far, is that watching people play, the number of different things that we go through, and then the number of times people are like, does that count as Ben struggles with self-doubt? And it's like, yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
A good way to know is that Ben and I are typically live in the chat,
yeah,
on YouTube as the Pop is premiering, and Ben will just outright state whether or not it counts as him struggling.
Oh yeah,
with self-doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the assessor of what level of doubt was involved.
Exactly.
Yes. And
I will say I completely underestimated the premiere way in which we're playing the bingo. Like, as I suggested it, I think I initially suggested like a 10 by 10 board,
right,
or something that would have randomly generated things. And my initial idea was you would just have this board like moving forward. Like, you would listen to it week after week and try and fill it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And the idea was more of a like, ooh, if you listen to like 5-6 episodes, maybe we'll get bingo.
Right. No, as is typical of the case, Jordan came up with a much more elegant solution, which was a regular 5x5 bingo card where all of the squares are randomly generated from a larger pool than the available squares. So
yes,
and it's a constantly growing list. We have like, I think like 50 different items you could get,
right?
But you will only get 24 items.
Ugh.
And they will be randomly on the square. So your board will be different week to week and different from everyone else's. And you can win each week, which is fun. If you do win, you should post it on Twitter because you get a secret prize, which is fun.
A secret prize.
A secret prize.
Can I transition into a new topic, a segue? Look at it.
Bingo.
We're going.
Help someone.
There we go. We help somebody. Okay. So secret is really what I'm working with here, because I'm currently in the process of renovating my home.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. And so there, as we've been doing it, I've got one friend in particular who keeps asking me like if we found like gold bars in the wall and stuff, because my house was originally built in 1935. So as we've been peeling back the layers of the house, like to do like a new kitchen and a new bathroom, we've kind of just been like hoping like that there's going to be like little tidbits of like history that like are now discovered because they were otherwise put behind walls that have not been moved in, you know, what would it be like 90 years?
Oh my, wow, you're right. It's coming up on 90 years. You have an old house, man.
I know.
What has happened? Have you found any treasures, some,
yes,
crowns?
Yeah, a few even.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we found was I don't know the people themselves, but like I know who lived in my house before me, because like as you're going through the process of purchasing the home and doing your like inspections and stuff, you're sort of like interacting inside of what is at that point their home enough that you're kind of getting a feel for like who these people are, and like one of the kids plays lacrosse and this, you know, whatever, does ballet or whatever. Like, and you can see like the things, the pieces of the puzzle that are there. It's kind of like in How I Met Your Mother, where they move into the apartment and they keep getting all the magazine subscriptions of the former person, and they've like built this like I forget like what the things are. Like
it's like wicker furniture and golf and birds or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've got this like persona that they've built around it. And I think I've done the same thing with the former owners. But I know the first thing we found, we were pulling the kitchen cabinets off and it was a picture of residents of the home at bare minimum prior to the people who lived there before me. And it was a picture of them standing in front of the house itself. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, interesting.
It was kind of like, whoa, like
that was this, in the walls.
It was kind of like behind the cabinet. So what I have to imagine is that it was like adhered and then like came off and like fell down and like to the depths of nobody's ever finding this again until the cabinets are torn out, which we did. So that was thing number one. And we thought that was very interesting because same thing, like, you know, you're looking at this house from what had to be like, you know, even the early 90s and you're just like, it's the same house. Like that's like, it's even the same door. I don't know. And I it's really not that long a period of time. So I don't know why I'm like so mind blown over it, but I'm just like, that is so interesting to me. But moving on from that. So like we started to take the physical walls off. So, it's called like prior to drywall, there was something called like lath,
okay, which was, yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of like, slats of wood basically that they could like smear the plaster on.
Okay.
So that's what walls were before they were drywall. And so as we were taking all that off, we found a key inside of the wall.
Oh, so I know. Now you have to find the treasure chest that the key goes to.
Exactly.
So this to me is like, you got to tear down more walls.
Well, sure.
You got to, I mean.
Maybe look, the whole house. In the name of gold.
Knock it down. Dig up the foundations, bro.
Right.
Who hit a key in the wall?
I don't know.
That's such a man.
And it's like, the other thing too, it's like a skeleton key. You know, like the key, it's not like a, it's not like a key that you would use, like go to like Lowe's and have one like made and like the really cool little like,
Yeah. It's like an old fashioned, like is flying around beneath the school of Hogwarts for Harry to catch kind of key.
Exactly.
Okay.
You get it 100%.
Okay.
And it was even like on like a piece of like leather rope and like on like a little hook inside.
No.
Of
it, yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, what yes, does indeed. It go to? Ben, you've got to find where this key goes.
I need to know.
Does it, I mean, is it possible it's just like a door key or?
Well, that, I mean, that's sort of the thing about it. Like I would describe the key as both very antique, but also like kind of generic-y looking. Like the blades themselves, like I don't know if at one point in time it was just way easier to pick locks. And really what it came down to was there wasn't as much advancement. Like every single key that everybody has in their pocket nowadays are probably in some manner of speaking unique. But
hopefully
this one looks, you know, it's like a band and then it's like two teeth, kind of like you know, like if you were to have like two teeth that were kind of like spaced apart, like your front two.
Yeah, okay.
That's like what the keyblade looks like. Yeah. So it's not incredibly unique in that way. And it's hard for me to think, too, that that is what the key you would have carried in your pocket going back to 1935. Like, I can't imagine that was, like, the key to the front door, you know?
Right.
Because that would seem, that doesn't seem right to me. Like, it seems too old-fashioned.
You need a key expert to examine this key.
Precisely.
And be like, this is probably what it opens.
Yes. And so, but my game plan for the key, what I really thought would be cool would to have like a kind of like a shadow box and have like a sketch drawing of the home and then have the key like, you know, in it and then mounted on the wall.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Cause it's like a piece, you know, it's a piece of history of the house, which is just, it's probably more than anything super special to the house than it is anything else, but also possible that it opens a real treasure box, which would be like, I can't even begin to tell you how complete my life would be.
If you found a real treasure chest?
If a real treasure chest.
Right.
Like a real, like with treasure in it.
Yeah.
That is all I need.
That seems like, you know, whenever you think of how would I can't even tell you how far, like if I had a bunch of gold, even if I had a bunch of just gold coins and bars, I think the last thing I would do is be like, where should I put these? Let me go just... Do we just got like a big box with a lock on it? Let's just throw it all in a box.
Do we have one of
Do
those?
Do we just have a box?
That's a good question. What is the origin story of treasure chests? Like, were they ever actually a thing ever? Where that was like, is the treasure chest the original like safe?
That's got to be what it is. It's just that it's a really crummy safe.
Right. I mean,
right?
It seems so stealable, which is why I'm sure pirates stole so many of them.
Well, I would imagine part of the problem of stealing a treasure chest, if it's truly full of gold, is that it be heavy.
Oh, Indeed. If we go back to Encyclopedia Brown
raise your hand if you've read Encyclopedia Brown books. They're not encyclopedias.
Our elementary school years. So every night, our mom used to read books to us before we went to bed. Mm. And I think that one of our all-time faves was reading the Berenstain Bears. Am I saying it correctly? I know this is like one of those.
This is like the most famous Mandela effect.
Right.
Where everyone thinks it's STEIN, but actually it's STAIN. And everyone's like, no, that's not how it's spelled. And it's like, well, look. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Everybody thinks it's the Berenstain Bears. Right. It's the Berenstain Bears.
Right.
I think. And maybe my pronunciation's wrong. But so we read a lot of those, which were good. One of the one that rang truest with me was the one about the Green Eye Monster, where I think one of the kids gets like a bicycle and then the other kid is like super jealous. And I was like, I remembered that feeling. And it was the first time that I think that like something was like very validated to me, where I had been to like my friend's birthday parties and stuff, and I had seen all the gifts that they were getting. And I was like, I am so jealous that they get all these gifts. Like, you know, and it was like this, like, I couldn't tell anybody, you know, it was like, but I felt it in such a real way.
Right. Like, no one, am I a terrible person? Is anyone else feeling this?
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I was so certain it was just me. It was like, I was the only kid who was envious of the person whose birthday it was, his gifts. But then when I read that book and it was like, oh, okay. It actually helped me like process the emotion in such a huge way. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember it like really sticking with me.
Good job, Stan and Jan Berenstain.
Exactly. Shout out to them. But so the other thing that mom used to read us a lot, because I think this was like even fun for her, was the Encyclopedia Brown, which was like, they were, Encyclopedia was like this, was that his name?
I don't know what his true name was, but his super cool friends called him Encyclopedia.
Cause he was so smart.
Cause he had encyclopedic knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I think that one of the examples was there was a kid who was selling like sticks on a beach that supposedly could like find gold. And he was like, look, see, and he like holds out like a gold brick. And he like, I think he like actually like holds it like before everybody, like up above his head. And Encyclopedia is like, you couldn't do that if that was a real brick of gold, because the density of gold is such that that would be too heavy for you to be able to wield in that way.
Yeah.
And like, that's the solution. And like, you could like turn to the back of the book and it would be like, that would be like the explanation that would be given.
Yeah. So there would always be, like you'd get to the end of each chapter of Encyclopedia Brown, which was each its own little detective story. And you know, there's like a spot for it to be like, how did Encyclopedia figure it out? And you could like try and solve it before you looked at the back of the book.
I like to think that that is part of what made us theorists on the internet today.
That's a great, I subscribe to that.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
Part of our origin story, as it were.
Yes. That's great. Encyclopedia Brown. Great pickup for your children. Although, man, some of them, I felt like they range in difficulty for case to case, from like one. I don't feel like there's a good middle ground. There's like 1, 2, 3, 9, 10.
Right. Yeah. It's either so obvious that you're like, okay, like who couldn't fit? Like, I think there's one of them where they're in like a relay race, and part of the relay race is you have to like eat a pie or something.
You have to eat a pie and then run the race. And the challenge is that you just ate pie, so running is hard.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that like there was like a twin duo.
No, there's twins.
The twins,
and one twin eats the pie and the other one runs the race and he doesn't have blueberry mouth at the end.
Right. And it's like, they like tell you in the story, he's like, he didn't have blueberries in his teeth. And it's like, what do you think it was? And it was like, definitely the pie thing.
Yeah. he had a twin. You told us that.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's somewhere to be like, the sun sets in the northeast and based on the shadow, this horse would have had a different pattern. And you're like, that's not what?
Yeah. I'm not with you.
I am not with you. I still don't get it. I've been mulling it over for the past 25 years. Still don't get it.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. We'll have to circle back. Maybe we can create like our own fan theory about Encyclopedia Brown here in the modern age.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, moving back to my original story though. So the other thing, so I found a photograph from like the early 90s. I found a key from the 30s. And then finally, we found what, which is not really an object so much as an opportunity, is the way I like to look at it.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So there is like an area of, like, sort of adjacent to our kitchen where we're going to have like our new like laundry room. So that'll be like on the main floor instead of in the dungeon,
yeah,
as it previously has been, which has made it so that I never want to do laundry at all, which is not a chore that I normally struggle with. But when it's so far down since I moved into the house, my laundry routine has never been. I've never established it. So
even the house you lived in prior to this, though, had a basement laundry room, did it not?
It did, but it wasn't quite as like, it wasn't quite as much of a dungeon.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I lived in that same house with you, and it was more of a go down the stairs, and it's just sort of on your right.
It was just there.
It was just sort of, yeah, it was like a room on your, it was a big open room.
Right.
Your present situation is more of a go down the stairs, which are not just straight downstairs. It's like an L, is that right?
Yep, it's like, it like kind of like spins you around.
Yeah. Oh, is it two turns?
It's like down and left and then left again. Yeah.
So two turns.
So two turns.
So two, oh, that's a lot of stairs.
I know.
And then you have to navigate to the whole back other side of the house.
Right.
Ooh, yeah. That's a lot of work to do laundry.
It is. It's a boatload. So anyway, it's going upstairs. But as we were like gutting that area of the house, we discovered that above that space is just open air. It's like there's nothing there. And so it's like, it's such a fun potential opportunity to literally have like a secret passage or a secret fort in the house.
That is all anyone wants, is secret. This is you've discovered. I've been, every now and then I'll think about the layout of my house and I will be like, okay. This wall backs up to this wall and that wall backs up to this wall. And my bathroom, you can't see it because you have to enter it here. That goes up to this wall. Is there any spot of just like a dead,
like unaccounted for space?
Unaccounted for space. Like, is there an open hole somewhere in the house where like the walls came together in a weird square and they were like, this doesn't really make sense in any room, so just cut it off all four.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure my house was built with all the walls just connecting to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit too practical in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. My one is right at the top of the stairs. I turn right and I always misjudge the length of the hallway. I can't tell you the number of times I've been like, wait a minute.
I found the spot.
I think I know. It must be at the top of the stairs because that room's not that big. But then when I go and inspect it, sure, every time I forget, I'm like, well, also the hallway's not that big. That's why the room's not bigger. Okay, that makes sense.
Why? So your house was built way more recently than mine was. Why is it that the fact that my house is older makes me so much more inclined to believe that something could be like hidden somewhere inside of it? Like, were people back then, like throughout history, like, have we become just less whimsical as time has gone on?
Oh, 1,000%. Because part of what's happening here is that your house in particular is unique, even in the area it's in.
True.
But like my house is in, you know, a subdivision. So every house is copy and pasted basically from like lot to lot to lot to lot. So they like found a good ergonomic, efficient house and they built it, and then they built it 300 more times.
Right, with like slightly different like facades and colors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stuff like that. The initial owners could, I'm sure, pick some different versions of it and things. And
yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, so anyway, with the discovery of this secret space that I've been so excited about, I'm like, oh my gosh, because what would most likely happen is that like the rooms in my house that would eventually hopefully be like the kids' rooms, they're basically, what it would be is you would go into their closets, which are already weird closets because they're like, they're unexpectedly large.
Okay.
But then inside of those closets, you could then have like another door that would then take you into the secret space.
Oh.
So it would be like, you would have to, like, if you were able to show, if you were like, imagine you're 7. Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm there.
Yeah. You're there.
Yeah.
You're in the thick of the Berenstain Bears. And
where was I at 7? What grade are you in at 7? 5th grade? No. Like 3rd grade.
3rd grade? Yeah. 3rd grade. Second, third grade.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really into Star Wars right now. Okay. Let's go.
Okay. We got it. So, I mean, but like, I just can't imagine being able to have your friends over and be like, let me show you something really cool. And, you know, you would like go into the closet, which at first would probably be like, where's this going? And I'd be like, trust me. And you like go through and you open up a door. And when you go into that door, it's like a secret spot with like twinkle lights all like run all over the place. And
you're like, what?
Yes. Maybe a black light.
Oh.
posters.
Yeah.
A toolbox, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
Yeah. Probably doesn't have tools in it. It's like Zorky, my candy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like a toolbox that's been like appropriated for something that a kid would want.
Exactly.
Like treasure.
Like treasure.
Maybe like chocolate, foil covered chocolate coins.
Ooh.
So
right.
it looks like treasure,
but it's just a big disappointment in the end.
Well, I mean, in a way, I think when you're a kid, even though it's lackluster chocolate, it's still exciting. But I don't understand why there's not more of that. Like, why do the top chocolatiers in the world not really just lean heavily into the idea of making like the perfected chocolate gold coin? Because everybody wants those gold coins to be delicious, and they just aren't.
I think most people want those gold coins to be gold.
Well, that too. But yeah. I mean, you know, next best thing.
Next, I guess. It's like, well, it's not gold, but at least it's chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's brown.
Because right after gold is brown.
The beautiful color brown.
The sweet color brown.
Yeah. Exactly.
I went through a huge phase in high school where I just wore brown shirts.
Brown shirts.
Like day in, day out. And yeah. I was advancing my wardrobe at the time. And every time I would go to the store, I would just buy a new, different brown shirt. I found my color. Like
It's such a weird thing. I remember this phase, and it was like growing up. Of course, like a brown seems like a very why would anyone wear brown by choice? And you'd found all these like, I guess it was like PacSun, Pacific Sunwear.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, brown shirts. And it was like, oh, no, look, now I'm choosing to wear brown, which you didn't think of because it was like default no growing up. But guess what? I just reached into the default no. It's not actually that bad.
Check it out. And yeah. The thing was, it must have, I say this and I always look back on it. And I'm like, I must have just been like going through like a phase, or it was like a really weird, like quirky thing that I decided to choose and like really like make mine. But also, like all of these shirts were from different brands. So like every company was putting out a brown shirt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that being said, maybe it wasn't just me.
I guess not. Like, there was a market for brown shirts.
Maybe I was hitting the nail right on the head.
I guess so. Okay. I'm gonna circle back on some stuff here.
Yeah.
We'll go segue dab. Beautiful. Over there. Yeah. Transition, because we've talked about things not being as whimsical as they were, and laundry.
Oh yeah,
and this is falling right into my lap today.
Oh perfect.
Which, yeah, okay.
You're entirely green.
My entirely green lap. Okay, so let me tell you a story. Is that a couple years ago, Beth and I got new washer and dryer.
Wow, congratulations.
I know. It was great. I think it was basically something had happened to our old dryer, and it was a situation where, like, okay, may as well replace the set because, you know, they come in twos. We'll update. It'll be an upgrade, right?
Yes.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
Benjamin. Ugh, wrong.
I was right on the edge of my seat.
I feel like maybe we've talked about this before, but even so, I'm just going to bring it up again.
Okay.
It is such an area where, like, washing machines and dryers, the modern day ones, the ones that are coming out now, have just been overbuilt.
Oh, overbuilt. Okay. I thought for sure you were going to say, like, they just don't make them like they used to.
That is exactly true.
Oh, that is okay.
What I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
They don't build them like they used to. Okay. Let me tell you problem number one that we had, maybe even like a month into owning our new washing machine, was that when you close the lid, it has like a little electric mechanism that like locks it.
Okay.
There's like a little, just a little plastic hook that just comes out and goes and like locks the top of the lid shut so that when it's washing, it stays shut.
Okay.
Well, that, it's just like, it must be some tiny little motor in there that moves the lock into place.
Right.
That's the thing that broke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But guess what? Because like, there's a sensor inside the rest of the washing machine in the computer that's like, the door's not locked, can't run. So now, even though the door is shut, it won't run because it's not in place. And it's like, this does not need to have an electric component.
Sure.
All you need, like, this does not matter. All you need is just like a little, just anything that will just hold it in place.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So super frustrating on that front.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, once upon a time, I was explaining to you the idea that you can make anything better by making it with fewer parts.
This is exactly. Yeah. Someone was like, you know what? That might be true. But you know what also makes things better? More electronics. And it's just like, this is not better. This is not better. Now my whole washing machine doesn't work because the door computer doesn't latch. It's so annoying.
Well, as long as we're about the 30 all over everybody, because this is exactly what this exact type of problem is. I could tell you that I once upon a time actually paid for a subscription to Consumer Reports so that I could have, like, I was going appliance shopping in the same capacity, and I was like, okay, like, I'm going to pay. I am going to have the people who have determined the best ones tell me which one to buy. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to take brands out of it. I'm not going to buy based on color. I'm not going to do anything other than you tell me what is the best one. I will take that one.
Yeah.
All of them have terrible reviews.
Washers?
All appliances have terrible reviews. And I don't know if it's the type of thing where it's like, you only they're doing things that we take so for granted that if they're doing exactly what you expect them to do, if a fridge keeps your milk cold, then there's not, like, it can't keep your milk cold better than another fridge can keep your milk cold. Like, temperature is temperature, right? But I think if something fails, what I'm trying to say is you're not going to probably go and give it a positive review for it doing exactly what you expected it to do.
Right.
But if it doesn't do exactly what you expected it to do, then almost guaranteed you're going to go and complain somewhere.
I suppose. But I feel like this is a situation where if you're going to compare it to a fridge, it would be like, oh, the ice maker doesn't work and now I can't keep your, like, food cold.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Like very one small, very thing went wrong.
Right. And it's like, now the whole thing doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, no. You should still be able to do that. The door is still actually shut and it's a top loader. You know, it's not like hanging open.
Right.
It gravity's keeping it shut.
Well, I have to imagine it's a safety feature, right? Like, as don't open it and try to go, like, you know, like, into the washing machine while it's running.
I'm sure that's the idea, but you can close it with any sort of metal clip, you know, that would just hold it shut on its own.
Sure.
Anyway, other problem.
Something you can manually undo.
Something you can manually undo. Exactly. Dryer, equally stupid problem.
Oh, no.
Okay, listen to this. So okay, it's like they would sell it to you as like an eco-friendly version of how the dryer is going to work, which is that the dryer has a sensor that will tell you when your clothes are dry, and it'll just stop as soon as it thinks your clothes are dry.
So don't over-dry.
So it won't continue to dry your clothes after your clothes are dry.
Okay.
Which on paper sounds great. Cool. Don't waste the energy. I'll save money. You know, whatever. The problem is that the sensor is terrible.
Oh, no.
And what actually happens is that it will sense an amount of dryness and it'll be like, done. And you'll be like, then you'll pull it out and it'll be like, actually, still kind of damp.
Oh.
And then you're like, okay. Now I got to put it back in and it'll run and it'll be like, no, it's dry. And you're like, no, it's not. Like, I don't want you to tell me when it's dry. I want to tell you, dryer, to run the heat for an hour and then I'll take my clothes out.
Yes. I have had this exact same thing. And like, the dryer is like stubborn about this. It's like, no, I'm doubling down. Like, you think I was wrong before? Nope. I sensed something before about this laundry and it was done.
It's like
someone who's being like really like uppity about like the steak. It's like, you will take it medium rare and you will enjoy your clothes medium rare. They will not be well done.
Yeah, right.
I'm not ruining this steak.
According to this dryer, clothes should be worn medium damp. It's like, it is so frustrating. It's because it should be like, you come home and you're like, brand new. This is great. I made an adult purchase. I have this fancy new appliance, and then it doesn't work. And you have to like put in all these settings to like trick the dryer into doing what you want. You're like, I'm just going to set it for like very dry and I'm going to set it for timer mode. And it's like,
it makes me wonder, because we've talked about this with printers before as well. Like, printers don't work as a rule. Like, almost certainly, and every once in a while you'll get like a hot streak and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like until your ink runs out or something like that. And you'll be like, man, like my printer works. Like, this is great. Like I printed the tickets to the event. They're in my pocket. I have them. It's great.
Yes.
They're not going to ask for it because they're just going to ask me to hold up my phone anyway, but still,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But so I wonder if it's almost like one of these things where it's like, in order to make the like any of these objects like affordable in the masses, they deliver something to you that is like extremely remarkable in its abilities, and the side effect of the affordability is like, also, they don't work that well. Like,
yeah, basically,
like it's like if all you had was like appliances that worked extremely well, then they would be like nobody could afford them. They're gold plated because that's what makes them better.
Yeah,
apparently.
Well, so anyway, my washing machine broke the other day.
Oh no!
Just the lid,
the new one.
The hilarious. This, listen to this though.
Okay,
now the lid itself is like cracked. Like there's like a, you know, like if you open, like you can, like you could see down into it, like through the crack, okay, like while it's running.
Yeah.
But you know what? The electric motorized lock still works, so it still runs.
Oh my gosh.
This is hilarious. Anyway, it was cracked. And then of course, every time you open the door and like put it down again, it would get a little bit worse until now it's like off. Okay. So now it's like officially broken. We got the guy out there to try and like fix it today. And he's like, well, the parts are going to be like $400. And you're like, well,
because the parts are basically a new one.
Yeah, basically a new one. So you know what? We're not even doing it. We're now in the market for an old washing machine.
You're kidding
me. No, that's what we're doing.
Wowzers.
Not, don't want this smart washer technology. I want just a thing that runs and cleans the clothes.
Like the good old days.
Exactly. Why do we, it's so overproduced. It drives me insane. Anyway, that's my that's my problem today.
Have you considered getting a clothes line?
Absolutely not. That's insane.
That's not on the table.
That's not on the table.
Not an option. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I guess you have a fair few onesies that your fam goes through.
Oh boy. Let me say this. Okay. So we have another development over the past. Luke has been going through a definite like transition stage at the moment. Over the past week, we've successfully like done some potty training.
Wow.
Which has been tremendous, which also then means though that you have to transition crib to like toddler bed, because now if they have to go, they got to be able to get out.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. And we were very lucky that Luke was never someone who, like, even though he definitely could have, never actually climbed out of his crib. So that's okay. Good. A lot of times that's when you have to do that transition, because like, oh, now they're going to fall. So you got to just take away the fall option by making them the door open.
But okay, got it.
Anyway, so we're potty trained. We have our toddler bed. That's all been really cool. And I remember when Beth was pregnant with the twins, or even maybe before we knew it was twins, thinking like, you know what's going to be a real bummer is that we're going to have to do twice as many diaper changes.
Yes.
And but like, even then I was looking forward to the day, but I was like, but you know what, Luke, by the time they get here, will be that much closer to being potty trained. So it'll be a wonderful day when Luke will be done and we can go back to single.
Yeah.
It'll feel like such a relief, but that obviously didn't happen.
Oh, because now,
instead it's like, sure enough, one less diaper to change every day, but it's still double the work that it originally was. So we took like two steps forward and one step back.
Oh no. Oh yeah. No. Well, the good news is that, I mean, he's progressing so quickly.
Yeah.
Little Lukester.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he's well on his way to true blue independence.
Oh, I mean, he's doing fantastic, and it's been interesting to see him like experiment with his newfound like room freedom. You know, cause like now, before when he woke up, he would just have to stay in bed until someone came and got him. But now he can wake up and he can just like be in his room. So it's not like this. It's like you can, like, we have like a little monitor where we can like watch. And it's interesting to see him. He's like, is it like almost unsure what to do with this amount of freedom. Like, I can just play. I can just play. Okay, I'll give him a
now. Shit. Now is the true test to see how much he will ultimately be like you. Because I feel like you woke up in the morning as far as I'm concerned, as a 4-year-old. And we're like, let's get to it.
Let's get, stuff to do.
Time to go be productive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think even as a kid, I recognized that if I got up before everyone else, then like, no, like I didn't have, there was no bothering with sharing. It was like, everything is just me now.
You didn't learn to share. You learned to get up early.
Well, I mean, it was like, I knew once other people were up, sharing was now in play, but before then, not in play. Yeah.
Total access.
Right. Total access. Whatever I want.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it feels like a really good time to transition into a fun fact about coyotes.
A fun fact about coyotes.
Here we go. Okay. So I thought that this was actually sort of amazing. So last week we were talking about the Arizona coyotes, our new, everybody's new favorite NHL team.
Everyone's new favorite NHL team, but not my new favorite hockey team, which is definitely the new Mighty Ducks TV show on Disney Plus.
Actually, yes, though.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm only two episodes in. It was only two episodes as of this recording.
Right. Right. Yeah. But it is actually amazing to me. I feel like how hockey is just like, it is circling around me right now.
You're just like, everywhere I look, hockey is calling my name.
I know. So I think we need to get into a pickup league.
Mm.
You think so?
Well, I mean...
Are you on board?
The only place I know where you can play hockey locally is at the concert venue I used to work at, Bingo.
So many people. So many people
were like, there it was.
It was such a cold square.
Such a cold square.
And then it became instantly hot. And then,
boom, there it was. You can play hockey, yeah, at that place. So I don't know. I don't know what capacity we could get access to the ice.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be peak access. But based on what you're saying, I think we should probably get there at 6 in the morning so we don't have to share with anybody.
That's honestly not the worst option.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
The staff occasionally used to meet on the ice to play ahead of time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is all great news.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that will be a new endeavor that I'm going to push for. Maybe we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see how it sticks around.
Yeah.
Anyway. So last week though, I was talking about the Arizona Coyotes and we were like, we need to figure out a favorite player.
Yeah.
Which I think we decided was Phil Kessel.
That's right. Our favorite player in the entire NHL, Phil Kessel.
Exactly.
Who I think has won the Stanley Cup, but not with the Coyotes.
Yeah. Well, on that note though, so basically what is considered to be the greatest hockey player of all time by many folk, almost even going beyond that, I think there's a lot of people that regard this particular player as like one of just the greatest people to play sports. Is Wayne Gretzky.
Heard of him?
Yeah. He's a bit of a household name. I was actually curious because last week when we started talking about this, I had like made a comment where I was like, yeah, Wayne Gretzky playing for the Coyotes. And I was joking just because it's like the most recognizable name ever.
Yeah.
But kind of an interesting thing about this, and it's almost the same thing as music, is like everybody grows up in an era where specific like sports teams are like the team.
Yeah.
And so there's like a lot of knowledge about like if you grew up in the 90s, like the Chicago Bulls were like the best basketball team. Like growing up in our era with like, you know, with the NFL, you'd probably say like the New England Patriots because they're constantly at the Super Bowl, constantly winning the Super Bowl. So one thing I wondered about though was, is there a chance that when I brought up Wayne Gretzky, that was like a reference to a person that a lot of people were like, who?
I doubt it.
Okay, you think it's ubiquitous?
I think Wayne Gretzky is probably up there with like Michael Jordan in terms of like ubiquitousness.
Okay, good word.
I think he probably contributed more to the popularity of hockey, or about as much to the popularity of hockey as like Michael Jordan did to the popularity of basketball.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's part of like sort of that idea of people refer to them as like GOATs, the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Sort of within respective fields of play, but then also like on a larger scale, like I was saying before, sort of just in general, like who are the people who have had the most massive like impact on their sport, and then alongside that were also like the best. And one of the big things like Wayne Gretzky was famous for was that every other person on the ice was better when he was out there. So like not only did he have like record setting like goal numbers, but I think he had record setting assist numbers.
I think so.
Which was, well, like, you know, that's unbelievable. So like not only is he scoring constantly, but he's also setting other people up to score, which makes him 5 times as valuable if you're out there. So anyway, I very jokingly had made this comment about Wayne Gretzky and possibly playing for the Arizona Coyotes, which turns out he did not. He owned the Arizona Coyotes.
Owned them.
At least in part, in the early 2000s, he was the head of hockey operations and the head coach of the team from 2005 to 2009.
That is unbelievable.
So I take this like complete random stab of like, you know, basically for one, the most random hockey team that I didn't even know existed prior to the pop at all. And then on top of that, took like the most famous hockey player ever and was like, oh yeah, like maybe they're associated with the Coyotes. They totally were in like a huge way. And I was like, the person who sent it to me's name was Alex Vignali. So Alex, I appreciate you sending me this message and letting me know that Gretzky had way more of a legacy with the Coyotes than I previously had known. And I thought that was so marvelous and wonderful.
Is this, as I'm just sort of like going through some stuff in my head, I'm like, is this a feature of the GOAT, is that there's always the team after the team they were a part of that they like go on to like have a little bit more impact with. Like, even like if you were to say, yeah, my favorite Washington Wizards player, Michael Jordan. Yes. But, you know, Michael Jordan, he played with the Bulls, he retired, came back, played with the Bulls some more, retired, played with the Washington Wizards for a little while. And I bet no one remembers that very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't exactly do great. But like, even like Tom Brady right now, like everyone, like, yeah, okay, he just won the Super Bowl with the Bucks, but you know there's going to be some plucky podcaster some 30 years from now talking about Tom Brady. Like, could you imagine if he was like a part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something? It'd be like, actually,
yeah, not only. He plucky.
Yeah,
is that what you? Am I plucky?
We
are plucky.
Don't call us plucky. We don't know what it means. That movie, chat.
Nice. Yeah. That's nice. I like plucky because it reminds me of Ducky, which reminds me of my current shirt.
Wow. Segue.
Wow. Yes, I'm wearing my Duck in a Cup team captain T-shirt.
Duck in a cup.
Ducks go in cups. They do.
Yeah.
They do, precisely.
Right.
So I'm actually really excited because you and I are working on a super secret special Duck in a Cup project.
For
this year.
We are.
So as people who create content on YouTube, there's sort of this thing that happens every year. So like the streamies are the like awards that are currently associated with like creator-based content.
Yeah, like you, they're like the Emmys of YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah. So like if we were to win an award for what we did in any capacity, it would be a streamy, would be the only thing that we would really like actually fit the category of.
Right.
We're certainly not going to win like an Emmy as a YouTube channel. But every year there's sort of this like dilemma that comes around where it's sort of like, okay, like we can like submit a video for the streamies as like, you know, here's like our like jewel of the past year. Like, let's submit that. And it's always kind of a struggle because like the kind of content that we make is like, it's so hard for any chunk of it to like be played on stage before anybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you're saying. I mean, it's there's what they really need.
What do they really need?
Is a category for the best thing not listed. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
No, yeah, the streamies, they change the categories every year, and sometimes it is very not obvious where we would fit, if we would fit at all into any of their like given categories, which is a little disheartening because you're like, well, we do a lot of work and we, I don't know, like I would like to at least be able to submit, but you're not even acknowledging like our zone of the internet or of the site.
Sure.
Which is a big zone.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it's such a thing that there's like so many of us out here that are like, you know, doing these types of like theories and deep dives and things like that. And then when it comes to this like big category, there's nothing to do. So anyway, we decided that this year we were like, okay, we're gonna have to put like all of our energy and attention into like a project. And that project is like, at the end of the year, we'll be able to stand back and be like, boom, there it is. It's like, if you want to know where way more energy and resources went into one thing rather than any other video that we made.
That's going to be the Duck in a Cup video.
That's going to be the Duck in a Cup video.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's going to be the one.
I'm excited for it.
And then eventually we'll be able to call it the award-winning Duck in a Cup video.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Oh, man.
It'd be very exciting. So you had mentioned, though, that in as long as we're on topics of awards, I don't know that we actually ever discussed this on the Pop proper, did we? The Roanoke magazine?
I don't think we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because this was like such a thing. So you guys may recall from, I don't know, maybe a dozen episodes back of The Pop, we had like a big campaign because we were trying to submit Jay and I to our local magazine, the Roanoker magazine.
The Roanoker.
Where they have like a best of issue. And as the recap, basically like when we were growing up, our dad was like on the cover of the magazine, you know, like for being like a local, you know, person of prominence. And I think that ever since then, it was like this thing that like, I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
You know? And so I like growing up, I was like, okay, like, so eventually I'm going to have to find a way to do that. Like I need to be, again, I need to have some kind of importance enough that would be like, magazine, we're going to put you on there.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where it probably in the scheme of things is not like that massive, but it's like almost like very internally important. Like,
yeah,
it matters to me in a way that like it probably is like disproportionate with the I don't know, with what it might actually mean. So we had everybody go on. We had everybody submit us for the category of best thing not listed.
Yeah.
And the idea behind this was, like, we are aware of the fact that we do have, like, you know, like an internet audience from kind of like around the world that then could, you know, submit digitally, like, our name for that category. And we didn't really want to, like, take something that might, that somebody locally might fit more into a specific category.
Right. So basically there's not a best YouTuber category for best of Roanoke. They've right. got like 100 categories for like stuff, like very minute stuff sometimes.
Yes.
You know, but there's not like a best social media presence or like a best online personality or best YouTuber or something like that.
Yes.
So that we, you know, if such a category existed, we clearly would have gone for that.
Right.
But nothing did. So there on one of their pages, though, there is a line for best thing not listed. And we were like, this is perfect. This is great. We will be the best thing not listed.
That's our wheelhouse.
And it's going to be a hilarious thing to have won.
Yes.
Even it's great. We won't steal the award from anyone. It'll be cool. We'll just go. And we posted a video on the vlog channel, and we had tons of people go fill it out. Like, definitely, like, more than enough to
have made a mark.
Yes. And we go and get the results back, and it turns out that, oh, this gets me, this is so frustrating.
I know. It's like, I get like steam.
I know. I'm like, that we apparently misinterpreted the category of best thing not listed.
Yes.
Because what they meant was, what category should we include next year that we didn't list this year?
Yes.
And so instead of the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel being the best thing in Roanoke that we didn't have a category for, instead, what is going to happen is that next year there will be a category for best suntan salon.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's apparently what happened.
So they had sent me an email about all of this, and I responded, and we submitted for best thing not listed, and the person wrote me back, and they're like, no, the thing for best thing not listed was best spray tan salon. And I was like,
impossible.
I was like,
that doesn't even make sense.
I was so confused.
Right.
Because I was like, but what does that mean? Like, that's not a place. That's not like someone won. That is like more of like a general thing. And it's like, oh, I see what happened. But then the other thing, it's like Spurg in the back of my mind all of a sudden is like, doesn't it seem like if that is like the way that it was interpreted, one, it means that I assume you're just like wiping out all of the votes that were for the Super Carlin Brothers. But then in the back of my mind, I was all like, it kind of feels like what should have happened was there should have been a new category for best Super Carlin Brothers.
It does seem like there should have been one.
Like, if we weren't going to at least win a title, an award called the best thing not listed, at bare minimum, we should have been the new category.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what happened, but whatever vote counting system they had, because there is simply, I can tell you for sure, more random people didn't decide, man,
collectively
yeah. and independently, that gosh, I so badly wanted to vote for my favorite suntan salon here in Roanoke, but I sure couldn't, and I need to let them know
I was robbed of this opportunity.
There is absolutely zero chance at all that more people voted for that than wrote in ballots for Super Carlin Brothers. So I don't know how they were counting them. All I can think is that, like, the phrase best suntan salon popped up, like, that specific phrase popped up like 8 times, and they were like, that's enough. And our submissions were like Super Carlin Brothers plus a block of text, and those didn't match each other. So they counted like one vote for us, like, you know, like it was as if, you know, if we got 10,000 votes, it was one vote for 10,000 different categories because they didn't match.
10,000 like unique versions of people saying like the Super Carlin Brothers for these reasons.
Right.
And I think we even asked people to add like an additional like blip of text, so that they didn't think that we were like spamming them.
Right.
It was like, let's make it unique. Like, so if everybody like leaves their own individual thoughts, then that will prevent it from seeming like we like had like a bot, like, you know, out there, which we absolutely did not do. And it, yeah, so I think you're exactly right. I think that what there ended up being was effectively 10,000 unique entries for that particular thing, and then 8 entries that were all perfectly equivalent.
Suntan salon.
Oh, and yeah. So anyway, I went back and forth, and it was I have to tell you, like, I don't think I've ever sent food back at a restaurant ever in my life.
You're not like, excuse me, this isn't quite medium damp.
Exactly. Even my laundry machine, if it gives me damp laundry, I'm like, okay,
I'll just put them on the bed.
I trust your judgment. You are the professional here. I will walk away with my damp laundry. I have to say, just as much as I can self-assess as humanly possible, this is not typically the type of thing that I would ever do, is be like, can I talk to someone, please? Like, I was like, I think something happened and I don't know how to explain it. And it's really hard to like advocate for myself in this situation. So it was like, that's the other thing too. It's like, not only is it hard for me to like attempt to like,
right,
like file a, I don't even know if complaint's the right word, but it was like, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you answer, please?
Yeah.
So I like got on the phone and I was like, can you please check again to see, because it doesn't seem like Best Spray Tan Salon, unless people are real passionate about that. Like, and maybe, I don't know. So I'm going back and forth, and finally they're like, okay, we talked it over, and don't worry, you guys, next year we're going to include Best YouTuber. And it was like,
why don't you just also do that this year?
Well, okay.
All right. So you look out.
Yeah.
Next year. It's happening. We're good. We will do it, Ben.
It's the slow play.
That's right. We're coming in slow. We're coming in gold. We're coming in medium damp.
Medium damp.
We need shirts that say medium damp.
Yes, we do.
and you know how you wear them.
Hashtag team medium damp.
Oh man,
they always just kind of smell a little bit like mildew. Like,
did you you want to through the washer again? No, this is how you wear it.
This is how all
look
the,
it says it right here.
Right,
medium damp.
It's like, do you want to know how I know it's the right dampness? Because I bought the best one. Because I bought the Consumer Reports, and according to Consumer Reports, it had 3 stars, which was the best. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I feel like this is probably a good place to cap off for today. How about you?
Did we get a corny joke? Do you have a corny joke?
Yes. The people at home with their bingo cards are like, because I think that there is both Ben tells a corny joke and also Ben forgets the corny joke.
Yeah.
And so there were people who were like hovering over that Ben forgets the corny joke.
It's going to happen.
Today's the day. Okay.
There's that. And then, so there's the absolute forget. The nailed it right away. And then there's the in-between of, we did remember it, but it wasn't until after 20 minutes. Like, it went forgotten for a while.
This is how elaborate the bingo game is.
Look, you got to get in on this bingo game, guys. There are secret prizes at stake.
I know. Secret prizes, like a key that you could find in your wall.
And that steak is medium damp.
The number of times we can do it.
It's absolutely. You know what's going to happen is medium damp's going to be a bingo square now.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Okay, Jay. So a corny joke for today. It is not so much a corny joke as it is as a group of words placed together. This comes from Fisher Shelton, who brought up something that we discuss constantly, which is going to be another bingo square. You are like holding something in so hard.
I'm just laughing at being served a medium damp steak. It sounds so gross.
There couldn't be anything worse.
It's like we got it a little wet.
Jay's got a complete fit of the giggles. How do you tell about? Can you tell someone who's already laughing a joke?
It's the best time.
Okay.
I'm primed.
Okay, from Fisher Shelton, it says, have you heard about the new book we've been discussing? I've heard maybe it's the best series ever, but don't quote me on it.
Amazing.
Yes. So for all of you who are still needing that Name of the Wind square in your bingo board.
That was it.
So I thought this was, when I saw this, I was like, that's too good. Because it's even the way that we describe how you're supposed to say the main character's name, which is Quoth.
Quoth.
But it's like quote, but Quoth. With like a th at the end,
and maybe a V at the beginning.
But I know. So as a heads up for those of you who watch the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel, we have started recording our Name of the Wind theory videos, which will be coming out, I think, in a few weeks, based on whenever this comes out.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that I am struggling so much as I'm like I'm so used to talking about like Harry Potter, and like Harry is so easy to say, and I had no idea how much I was taking it for granted until I was having to say quoth like mid sentence over and over again, because every time I go to say it, I'm like preparing to say it.
Right. You gotta like, you know what though? Wouldn't it be hilarious if we'd been making like Harry Potter theory videos after just book one, and it was like, okay, but what do you think about Hermione? You know what I mean?
Because
you
that
know?
Is what we called Hermione.
Yeah, that's what we called Hermione at first, because yes, we didn't know. But I know lots of people got that wrong. So
I know that was a big one. And then the other one that I, because when we first ever read the books, dad was reading them to us like at night. So this was like as we had aged up a little bit. And so
yeah, now mom wasn't reading Encyclopedia Brown. Dad was reading Harry Potter.
Exactly. And we just said things at the same time.
Ah, just tapping off all these last second bingo squares.
I know. People are just like, they're going to need like those dabbers. I don't know if you've ever been to like a proper bingo night, but dabbers are like a bingo thing.
I know
thing.
About dabbing.
Okay. Oh, look at you go. There you go. That's perfect. So I remember dad reading the book to me, and I thought that he was calling Albus Alvis.
Oh, Alvis.
And Alvis.
Already a made up name anyway.
Yes. So not really Alvin or not really Elvis, but Alvis. And I remember like getting really far into the books and being like, it is so weird to me that there's a character called Alvis and Albus. Like, that is ridiculous.
Oh,
and then it was like,
wait a minute. I think another Harry Potter foul we committed was school perfects.
Yes.
Instead of school prefects.
We absolutely did. Are prefects a real thing?
Prefects are a real thing, I think, in some schools. I think it's much more common in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, which I also didn't know. Until I watched the show Dairy Girls, and there are prefects in the school they go to there. So that's where I learned that, like, oh.
That's your source.
That's my source. Sorry. Maybe I'm also wrong, but there's prefects in Dairy Girls.
Nice. Maybe it's just a Harry Potter reference. That has actually been one of our longstanding items is this thing British or Wizarding World?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to decide. So,
but like, yeah, because prefects definitely weren't a thing where we grew up, and just the term perfect still sounded like it made sense, because it was like, these are the best students, these are our perfect students.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's one of those words like where you can read any sentence, like where if the first letter and the last letter are correct and then all the letters in the middle are like jumbled, you can read like entire paragraphs of text effectively perfectly using
prefectly.
Yes. You can read them prefectly.
We should have a shirt that says I can read prefectly.
Yes, we should. That is such a good idea. I don't know. It's not already a thing. Maybe it is. Guys, we should probably get off, because I think at this point we are just descending into the brotherly giggles that Jay and I have had our entire lives. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to send any feedback, corny jokes, fun facts about Coyotes or the Arizona Coyotes hockey team, you can send that over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. We're also over on Patreon. If you would like to help support the show in some way, that is patreon.com/popcornculture. You could also find us on Reddit and on Twitter. We're kind of everywhere.
r/popcornculture.
Look at us go. Look at us go. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week.
Pop, pop.